This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
If you think about the South African National Parks, one will think hiking, but there's so many exciting and strategic projects that are happening there, right? Including the big tree development at the Tsikama National Park. I have it on my bucket list, actually. The extension of the Addo Elephant Rest Camp in the Eastern Cape, you know, the innovative youth center soon to launch at the Mapungubwe National Park. If you went to the University of Pretoria around, I think, 2008 to around 2011, 2012, you'll know that the University of Pretoria used to host Mapungubwe, some of the ornaments that came from there. But the National Park is, you know, the conversation. And we're commemorating National Tourism Month, and we're chatting to Peter Gordon as well as Blessing Manale. Peter, very good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Teresa. It's a really great opportunity to chat to you.
I appreciate your time. Blessing, thank you so much for joining us as well. Very good evening.
Good evening, Teresa, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, and most sincere apologies as well. I know I chowed into your family time this evening, and perhaps then starting with yourself, their Blessing. When we are talking about commemorating National Tourism Month, the traveler even in me did not even know that we have a National Tourism Month. Please tell us about that.
Thanks, Teresa. I've interestingly noted that you keep on using the word commemorating, which is usually for those that are dead and buried. The sector is not buried. It's rising from the trouble of the pandemic.
I take that back. Let me use celebrating.
So we're actually celebrating our resilience and the troubles we've been through. Tourism Month in South Africa, we started celebrating it about 10 years ago. But the United Nations Statute recognized tourism, World Tourism Day, much longer than that. But you'd know the reasons. South Africa, tourism was never seen as a unifier. It was seen as a reserve for the few, including national parks, by the way. They were seen as conservancies where animals had to be kept back from these hunters, and they could not make money out of it as communities. So we've come a long way, and that's why the theme for this year was tourism for inclusive growth. And in the context of COVID, we're saying building back better. So that's the context in which we're celebrating this momentous occasion under difficult circumstances for the eventing industry, for the performing industry, for small businesses, for road users, and for South Africans who feel unsafe because some are vaccinated and the virus is still ravaging. So that's where we are.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Peter, just borrowing from the point of departure that Blessing has created there in terms of, you know, the participation of South African national parks, I remember visiting, is it Boulders Beach in Cape Town? I didn't even know that it's part and parcel of South African national parks. Can you tell us about the offering that is South African national parks? And I think just borrowing from what Blessing has just presented then, that oftentimes people will think that, you know, it's for hunting, it's for hiking, or, you know, but there's so much plenty. Like I said, viewing of penguins in the Western Cape is part of that as well. Can you tell us about the South African national parks proposition?
Yeah. Look, although national parks are created and they're proclaimed for protection of the fauna and the flora as well as the cultural heritage, the role that we play in the tourism industry of that entire region is enormous. Even when you refer to Boulders, which sits right in the city of Cape Town. I was the park manager of Table Mountain a few years ago, and we used to receive 800,000 people per year in that tiny spot of Boulders. Now, the economic impact of that on the town of Simonstown is enormous. And also tourism, you know, I've now been transferred to other national parks. I'm now park manager at the Golden Gate Highlands National Park. And it sits in the middle of huge and very productive farming area. But when I compare, and I don't want to knock farming at all, it's a huge industry, but it is not an inclusive industry. You're either a farmer, you're not a farmer. And the skills development on a farm are also limited, you know. So I feel very obliged that a national park cannot just be a place to protect animals. We do youth development. You do youth training. The skills that are possible to be trained in the tourism industry, from food provision, accommodation provision, adventure, song, food, you know, all kinds of different skills and things that can be developed in the national park. So we do definitely engage with local communities, Those communities also have a lot of the heritage and history inside the national park. The Basotho people, the European farmers, the what is now called the South African War areas, and even Khoisan rock art. So, you know, we have all of these sites, and all we need to do is make sure that we are accessible to people and that small businesses can make use of us to establish little businesses around the tourism industry.
Absolutely. And I'm going to borrow from a point that Peter has just made in terms of small businesses. And I want to tag into to township economy and township tourism. Blessing, I'm going to let Abdul just ask his question there, and you can kindly respond to that. Abdul, good evening.
Good evening. How's it?
Well, how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, more than a question, I think it's just a remark, and I think they can tap into it. But basically, we are saying that the township economy has not necessarily benefited from the tourism sector. And coming from that background where tourism was one of the hardest hit as a result of COVID, followed up by lockdown restrictions. I think now going forward in terms of rejuvenating, its supply and reigniting the demand in that sector, there needs to be a huge consideration of how do you then align the tourism sector with the township economy. I'll cite an example here in Themba. We are a stone throw away from the Nugeng Game Reserve, and in Gauteng, the Big Five experience. You do not get any other safari where you experience the Big Five except here in Dinugeng. But now the township of Themba has not necessarily, capitalized on that. That's not the only tourist sort of attraction. You have Zwayin Crater. Yeah. It's like one of unique. Basically, I'm speaking towards that to say there must be a deliberateness in packaging townships, this particular attraction, Sikwa townships, where stakeholders from government and private sector point of view come together and say, "Hore, the pebble has to fall somewhere, and the ripple effect will be felt."
Abdul, unfortunately, I think I'm going to just take from the gist of your question. We're going to have to let you go. Thank you so much. That's Abdul there from Gotemba. Blessing, in just quick response to Abdul's ask.
Well, indeed, Abdul is correct. And I fortunately know Themba, but I'll briefly say that we need to tap into the imagination of our communities. Themba has got probably one of the first Mandela, Hammanskraal as you enter. It has got the first Mandela statue there. It has not been taken care of. It needs somebody to cut the grass. It has got one of the best cricket academies there, so that young people could start drawing people who are looking for business tourists who are looking for young skills there. It has got the oldest police college, who could rewrite our heritage by doing something about that police college. But local government has got to reimagine that, and we've got some incubation programs in the department to try to help local government and young entrepreneurs to put these ideas into place. But we've got to ramp up the information and with partnerships like Power. But there is a lot of things that people could do that does not need a lot of money from government. We've got to reimagine our spaces and do the basic minimum. And I've given you three examples about Themba and Hammanskraal. And there's many more in the townships in Mankweng, in Soweto, in Tembisa, and Mafikeng. We've got to think and as we transform the sector. And we'll find the money if we offer townships that are safe, through tourism safety monitoring programs, but with unique offerings that no one else has ever seen beyond the beach and the berg.
Absolutely. And I'm getting goosebumps, actually, Blessing, as you're saying this, because it's the same township in rural South Africa where even learners have been discouraged to take tourism as a career path because it's seemingly not so accessible for the Black community. And I love what you're putting there in terms of new strategies and reimagining. 0861-987-000. Kindly, Blessing and Peter, I will kindly let you go just in a few minutes. We're just going to go jump on to news now. And that is in the conversation that we're having celebrating tourism month. 6 minutes past 11 o'clock with myself, Thoriso Maloka, and I'm standing in for Sebenzile Nkambule all the way from 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock. We're still in conversation with Blessing Manale, who is the spokesperson of the national spokesperson of the Department of Tourism, as well as Peter Gordon, who's a park manager at Golden Gate Highlands National Park. And I'm going to spend far more time with Peter. Blessing, we do understand that we need to let you go sooner due to other engagements. I just want to understand, from Department of Tourism, Blessing, what should we be looking forward to as South Africans for this month? Also, where should we be going? You know, especially when we're talking about affordability, because there's this misconception sometimes that traveling in South Africa is expensive, even for us South Africans. It's correct in some forms, but I mean, there are areas, Abdul mentioned the likes of Tswayin Crater, which is absolutely free. I think it was 30 rands when I went, or something like that. So closer to free than it is expensive. What should we be looking forward to as South Africans and just embarking on for the next month?
Well, indeed, you are concluding the month, but in the next few days, a lot of provinces, almost all the provinces, are winding up the month with opening up the particularly public-owned parks, municipal parks, damming sites, fishing sites, botanical gardens, and then we've just had a successful what we call a travel week, where a lot of South Africans booked specials up to 50% of they can spend them up until September next year. But you've raised a good issue about pricing, and you're going to see some policy changes, particularly into a dual pricing system, where South Africans will just have to pay less, because we cannot base our tourism economy on dollar or euro when we know that we are currently only having South Africans traveling because of the stop and go of international borders. So the issue of dual pricing is top on our policy agenda, and the Minister of Tourism, Lindiwe Sulu, will be making some serious announcements about that. But we are opening up our financing mechanisms to support those that have suffered the pandemic. So it's going to be a big month. We're opening up an events framework, event support framework to support the performing and unique small events in villages that don't have commercial funding. So we are doing all our best to get South Africans back enjoying. But to South Africans, we're saying book in advance. You'll save a penny and a dime there. Take a group so that you can share the cost. Balance weekends. Don't pick up for high peak season. Summer in South Africa is good. So if you miss up a long weekend, take a Friday and a Saturday, and you'll find value in some of our products. But you're not just doing it for your own leisure. You're supporting rural women, young people, drivers, car guards, engineers. You'll actually be contributing to the rebuilding of the country in the era of COVID.
Absolutely. Blessing, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and thank you for borrowing us your very pressed time.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure you'll have an interesting debate with Peter about what they're doing in Golden Gate. There's something beautiful that South Africans are going to love there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much. That's Blessing Manalele, who is the national spokesperson of the Department of Tourism. And Peter, thank you so much for borrowing us, you know, much of your extended time here. Peter, I want to know about, you know, the Golden Gate Highlands National Park and exactly what's happening this month and beyond, because I do understand that some of these initiatives, although are highlighted during National Tourism Month, they extend far beyond.
Yes, they do. And, you know, things have been happening over the last 12 months following the resurgence and the return after lockdown. And they're quite interesting. And I think, you know, this is a time for tourism, conservationists, private owners all to start talking together and to make sure that we are ready for these new opportunities. Let me just highlight three for you that were quite a bit of a surprise for me. You know, I'm one of those that are not falling under the youth anymore. And I get very worried when the youth seem to suggest to us that all they need is their digital gadgets, you know.
Sure.
But in the last 12 months, my goodness, the number of youth that are streamed to this national park, coming for walks, looking for outdoor experiences, looking for a bit of adventure, has been really phenomenal. I was completely blown out of my mind. And the nice flip side of that is that we were here. We were ready and here. We were able to accommodate them. And we have already been in the process. We are in the process of extending Wi-Fi, because that is one thing you can't move away from. They love the outdoors, but as soon as they go back to the accommodation, they want to share their experiences immediately. So that was one interesting response that I didn't expect. The other one was camping. The people that have camped for years have returned en masse to national parks, this one not excluded. And also we get the sense that the youth are also starting to camp. You know, they don't have the money for expensive caravans, but they come with these little tiny little tents. They stick in their boot, and they are willing to rough it a bit. But it is what they want, and we need to be need to be ready to accommodate them. And the third surprise was conferencing. You know, we all converted to virtual platform conferencing, but as our adjusted levels, risk assessment levels changed, we were very pleasantly surprised that there are still a number of companies and agencies that are looking for real conferencing facilities. And then also now the new thing they're speaking about is hybrid conferencing. You know, some people are sitting physically here, others are online somewhere. And you need to be able to adjust very quickly to the software and the sound equipment that you need to do those. So those are things that that I think is not just national parks. I'm very fortunate that I have those facilities. And again, you know, we spoke about job creations and things like that. When you have a conference, they're going to need conferencing setups, and they're going to need extra marquees. We cater for quite a few weddings. They need wedding dresses and people to make up wedding rooms. So it is not an industry that we just keep for ourselves.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, when you're talking about an industry that we keep for ourselves, Peter, if you can just help me, help us, you know, where possible, where is it most affordable for South Africa? You've just mentioned young people. I didn't young people, I include students who typically do not have an extensive travel budget. Where is it most affordable, especially for families who are approaching summer? A lot of families haven't been able to get away together due to COVID, due to affordability as well. Where is it most affordable for South Africans to travel? Has the, you know, South African National Parks as an institution, as an initiative, almost done an analysis to say, actually, you know what, here are our quick sells that can be easily accessible to South Africans, yet at the same time actually be quite affordable?
We go through that all of the time. We have to go through that all of the time because we do need to make sure that we cater for the South African market. We do sort of aim our average chalets at the 3 stars so that it is affordable. But not even year on year, but throughout the year, we have people that are looking at times of the year that we can give special. We find that long weekends, strangely enough, our people respond more to a long weekend than a 40% discount on that. On accommodation, because it makes it worth their while to travel to a national park. I think what we need to do in partnership with yourselves, communications, and Department of Tourism is to let people know of the smaller gems that are scattered all around the country. We have 19 national parks, and they are scattered throughout the country. And you know, people always want to go to Kruger National Park or they go to Addo, but there are many others around that are a few hundred kilometers perhaps away. But rather than spend a lot of money on the transport costs. And every one of those national parks, I'm pretty sure, will have a camping site. And those are just the most affordable for your students and for people who are just watching their sort of, you know, what we call turning the pennies around. In this park, for example, we've got chalets at different rates. We've got a camping site. We've got the hotel. And we've got high-end cottages high up on the mountain. So we do try and cater for different markets out there.
Absolutely. And I mean, what we probably were going to do as a team is task ourselves, Peter, you know, offline as well, to have a conversation with you as to in each province, which are the parks that some of our listeners can go visit for a day, for a weekend, or whatever the case may be. Just at a quick glance, in Gauteng, which are some of the ones that you can think of at the top of your head?
Well, Gauteng is Kruger's probably the closest. There's Marakele and Mapungubwe are in the north there.
Yeah.
But there are other provincial reserves in that area as well, not that are not national parks, but still stunning places to go and visit.
Absolutely. I've got that noted on there then. Peter, thank you so much for your time. We are going to touch base with you and just make use of, Dumela and I were saying that we're going to task ourselves to do a trip to one of the parks or a couple of the parks rather, and come back and feedback to our listeners here. Because truthfully, as Abdul mentioned earlier on, places like Zwaying is 30 rands to enter. And it's a beautiful hike and absolutely, absolutely accessible. Peter, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and we appreciate you, and we wish you and the team all the best.
Teresa, thank you very much. We need to also invite you to come visit our dinosaur center, which is going to be the new attraction, and we're hoping we're going to make work of it, that it will have job creation opportunities for it as well.
Absolutely. The answer is yes from me, Peter. Thank you so much. That's Peter Gordon there, who is the park manager at Golden Gates Highlands National Park. And that's the thing, right? Every single industry, even in tourism, and I say even in tourism because I can't imagine how many learners and students were discouraged from studying tourism or for going into tourism because you're told that, you know, there's no job opportunities. But exactly what Peter's talking about, that there are initiatives to create, you know, employment opportunities in certain spaces. Like I said, I mean, if you go to places like Zwaying, like you wish like there was, you know, I remember we went to Zwaying and we hiked. It was us and one other couple, and it, you know how like the likes of Bohenops will be full, ne? Libo Barking, Kleprofir and stuff, they'll always be full because they're so popular. But there are other, I mean, Zwaying Crater has such a, it's got such a beautiful history to it. But even people, Bako Temba, Soshanguve and the likes of, people don't actually go visit it. And we need to sort of create emphasis. There was a place in Drakensberg that we had went to hike Koyone as well. And I understand Drakensberg is very much secluded, right? But once again, I think there was like four of us on that hike. There was about, and it's beautiful. It's got such beautiful offerings. I please urge you, if you can find out which ones are in your local area, just go spend time with the kids. Go spend time with your family. Go spend time with your loved ones. Take a blanket. You know, you don't need to buy fancy things. Take a blanket, go high, and take food from home and just go picnic there afterwards. It's some of these are such lively. If you want to go camping, please do explore as well. I think I want to say that I'm a little bit over camping. I glamp now. So camping is with the tent. I'll find out where I go to the bathroom. I might or might not shower. There might or might not be electricity, right? We're glamping. It's a tent, but it's got a shower. It's got a bed. It's not as uncomfortable, but it's still in the bush. Camping. When was the last time I went camping? I went camping. I'm not sure if you guys know of Barking Opie.
Opi. Is it the annual thing?
Yeah. Opi Kopi. Oh, yeah. So I haven't been to Opi, but I did bushfire. And I had the time of my life, right? I mean, I camped for 3 nights, or was it four? It was 4 nights, I think, at Swaziland bushfire. And it was absolutely amazing. I mean, I definitely showered in questionable conditions every day. I definitely froze every single evening before going to bed. I definitely had to make alternative plans for food as well, but it was the time of my life. And it's not a long time ago. I think it was the last bushfire, you know, before COVID hit. But my point is that there's so many other fun and adventurous things that you can do. And I promise you, children enjoy camping. There's a camping site, Kodinugeng. I think it costs 120 rands or something like that per person, because you bring your own equipment, like you bring your own tent and the likes of. So there's things that you can really do with the family, especially approaching December time. I get so excited. Dumela, Ore Kopi is your favorite. You know what my problem with Opi is? It doesn't look as clean. Like, what I mean by that is that it just looks very like hobbies, you know, it looks like there's a chance that I might not find a shower. Do you know what I mean? On that particular day. Whereas with bushfire, yeah, you're definitely going to take a shower in cold water. You know, there's a high chance that you will. Or you have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the mornings just so you can rush. But Opie is more... Opie really looks like people are comfortable to go 2 days without a shower and continue partying and drinking. But I mean, it's really sites that are so exciting for young people. I'd still do it. I'd still do bushfire. I'm not sure about Opie, but I'd still do bushfire. I would still do all these particular party. It's like partying for 4 days straight and you just camp the whole time. Quite exciting. So those are some of the strategic partnerships, I suppose, that the likes of South African National Parks and Department of Tourism go into. 0861-987-000. That is the number to dial. 0861-987-000. And we're moving in, you know, from I want to say the light-hearted conversations into another sensitive and quite heavy one, if I may. And we're talking to Professor Daryl Glazer, who's the professor and head of department at Wits Political Studies. And we wrapped the last day of the general debate of the 76th session of the United Nations General Assembly. And we unpacked the situation in Palestine, as well as the relationship that we as South Africa carry with that particular country, as well as the countries or country, as we would know, Israel, of course, at the very top of that, as you know, I want to say the opposing country towards Palestine. And that's a conversation that we're unpacking this evening. 0861-987-000.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.